Moncrief on News Talk.
In late 1929, four women in a rural part of Hungary went on trial for murdering their husbands. It was a huge scandal and made international headlines. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. More women were accused of murder in the surrounding areas. In fact, it's still not known how many died, only that it is in the hundreds. Hope Rees is the author of a book about this called The Women Are Not Fine. Hope, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thank you for having me.
Could you tell us a bit about this part of Hungary, you know, turn of the century, turn of the last century Hungary? What was it like there? It sounds pretty grim.
It was grim. You're very accurate in that description. It was a village south of Budapest, about 3 hours if you were driving there today. It was along the Tisza River. The Tisza was a main river in Hungary, going through the country, and it was part of the farmland of the Great Plain of Hungary. People subsisted on farming. People had vineyards there. At the time that this all started, Hungary was much bigger than it was today. It was before World War I, so it was actually part of the Austria-Hungarian Empire. It was a very big area. The country changed over two or three decades, so it looked different. But this particular village, it was poor, and it was small, but it was not the poorest or the smallest in the country. It was very isolated, though. That was one of the defining features. People were very cut off from the outside world. Budapest, even the nearby city of Szolnok, many people in Nagyrév never left that village in their life.
And would it be fair to say that, not that the rule of law didn't extend there, but certainly there was a local culture of, you know, if somebody got knocked off occasionally, you know, there wasn't that too much of a big deal made of it.
Well, you're right. There was no police force in the village. The closest one was in this nearby city called Szolnok. And that came into play in 1929. You just mentioned the first trial, but in the summer of 1929 is when this whole string of murders was first discovered. And they, the police ended up coming from that nearby city into the village, digging up the graves, causing a really big stir, rounding up groups of women, and interrogating them using really by any means necessary. We had police chiefs hiding under beds and you know, springing out and grabbing the women by the ankles, waiting for confessions. So you're right. Long answer to that, but the police were not there. That's right.
Yeah. Now, tell us how the first four women, how they killed their husbands.
Right. So the first four women, as you said, are the tip of the iceberg. There were 28 people on trial starting in 1929, but it went on for a couple of years. They were tried in groups. This first group of women were associated with each other. And the thing about this true story that's so incredible is it was really a big network of women. There was one woman at the forefront. This was Auntie Zsuzsi, Zsuzsanna Fazekas. She was the village midwife. She was the one who instigated a bit. She listened to women telling their stories, mainly about their husbands, about what they were enduring at home. And she said to them, "Why bother?" And she said, "I have a solution for you." The solution was an arsenic concoction. It was something very easy to make. She would carry vials of this with her at all times, but you could also go to the local general store, buy fly paper, and come home, boil it in a vat of water to distill it into droplets, and then put this into your husband's brandy or porridge or stew or whatever. So this, as getting back to the point, these four women, they were important, but they were part of a much larger network.
Yeah. Now, the concoction that she devised, It was, I assume it was tasteless.
Yes, exactly. And so it was odorless. It was tasteless. It was undetectable. And this is what made it a very convenient, tool for poisoning. The women who were doing it also believed at the time that there was no way to detect it in the bodies later on, which actually was untrue. So in the summer of 1929, when the graves were exhumed, the corpses were shipped to Budapest for arsenic testing, and they tested positive. Nearly all of them tested positive. So it was traceable. However, at the time, it not only did it not have any kind of immediate odor or effect, but sometimes it took a long time for the death to occur, depending on the dosage. So it could be a very long, drawn out death, even up to a couple of weeks, depending on how they administer the concoction.
Now, all of this is not unconnected to, well, I mean, the probably general attitudes at the time were probably a factor, but that seems to have been magnified when many of these men returned home after World War One.
Right. So the poisoning started earlier than that. The poisoning started in 1911, that's officially what we have on the books for one of the earliest ones. However, in the World War One years, the poisonings really spiked. It's for several reasons. One is that by that time, it had been going on for several years. There was more knowledge in the village. These women live next door to each other. They talk to each other. The quote unquote solution was catching on. But the other thing is that the women had a chance to live alone, to take care of the household, the store, the farm on their own. And when the men returned, it was often a very difficult transition. It's one of the sad effects of war, but many people return injured, psychologically damaged. They didn't have the name for it at the time, but many returned with PTSD. But also they returned with physical injuries. And in this village at that time, marriages were unions that were based really on practicality. It was about the economic union of two people who would bring equal amount of property, equal amount of assets to the equation. If a man returned from the war without a leg, without an arm, unable to perform his duties, it was really difficult to have him. He kind of lost his place as a partner in that equation. He became, quote unquote, useless. Of course, it also was exacerbated by heavy alcohol use, which was, again, part of self-soothing, and people were trying to take care of themselves, and people were traumatized. So all around, these things reached a boiling point.
Yeah. Now the knowledge of how to do it, of how to make the poison, was that just Auntie Juju that you referred to? Was she just going around teaching people how to do it, or did it, was it transmitted in a more organic way?
Right. So we do know that there were a couple of women, older women in that village, who were experimenting with this solution before Auntie Juju became involved. So there are stories that one woman was experimenting with it on her cat with this solution, or trying their own methods. What I found over and over is that the early poisoners were having trouble, quote unquote, getting it right. And sometimes someone would come in. There was a lot of trial and error. Auntie Juju could make it herself. She could sell it. She could barter it. She would give it to people who were in need, even for free, if she felt that they needed it. And she could also assist or teach. But all of these murders were done as a collective. There was no woman who really did this alone. Each person would talk to her neighbor, talk to her friend. They might bring in someone for help. In one of the cases, the midwife was called in, and then later the midwife's daughter, who was another midwife, also was helping in that case. So you just see how over time it becomes a collective knowledge. It wasn't overly complicated, but that didn't mean that it worked, or it didn't mean it was easy to do. It also involved, as you might imagine, kind of encouragement from the others. It wasn't something that was done lightly. It was often one woman saying to another, again, this quote, "Why do you bother with him?" or observing a woman, a friend of hers, suffering, and telling her, like, there's a way out of this.
Yeah. Now, do they know, even to this day, how many people may have been poisoned?
Right. That will be impossible to know. We only know in that particular village at that particular time, of those graves, how many contained arsenic. It's even hard to say for sure who did it. But extrapolating from that and looking at the region, we do know that there were midwives in a nearby village who were associated with this in this network of poisoning. They had a relationship with Auntie Zhuji. And for sure, it extended beyond that one other village we know about. There are experts who say that up to the 300 people might have died in that region. That includes several villages and towns. Still a very small region, and it was over a long period of time. But it is really an incredible number, considering the population there.
Yeah. Now, various women were sent to prison for this. Some women were executed in somewhat excruciating ways. It's never nice to be executed, of course, in any way. Auntie Zhuji, was she ever arrested?
Well, in order to answer that, I would have to give away something. And I would love it listeners could read
spoiler
the book for
alert.
Themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
I will just tell you there's a twist, and I don't want to reveal that yet, if that's okay with you.
That's okay. It's perfectly understandable. Hope, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Hope Rees is the author of The Women Are Not Fine.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.